It's 8:36. You're listening to Community Radio, KGNU, and next we turn our attention to books. And as I often do like to have in the studio with me, Arsene Kashkashian of the Boulder Bookstore. When we talk about books, Arsene, you're the person I always think of. It's good to have you with me.
Well, it's great to be here.
And Arsene, of course, is my co-host in our monthly radio book club. But today's a little bit of a different format. We have two other guests joining us in the studio, April Gosling and Liesl Freudenstein. They're both with the Boulder Bookstore. April is the offsite events person for the Boulder Bookstore, and she's a school liaison, and we're going to get her input now, particularly when children's book. Also joining us is Liesl Freudenstein, and Liesl also works in the children's area. She's in fact the children's book buyer for the Boulder Bookstore. Welcome, Liesl and April. It's good to have you with us.
Nice to be here. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, we are going to talk about children's book. We'll talk about grown-up books as well, but let's maybe talk about children's books. And one question that I've always had is, are you seeing a commonality between books that parents like and books that kids like? Because it seems that they're not always the same thing. And I'm talking about maybe small kids. Liesl.
Well, I think with small children, you know, they just want to sit on the lap of the parent who's willing to read a book. So a good children's book a lot of times will be a book that the parent is willing to read to them. You know, some of them are a little too repetitious. Some of them have too many words in them for a bedtime story, so it's kind of hard to read. And otherwise, you know, good art also really helps. You know, do you like to look at the pictures? Is there more going on in the pictures that is backed up by the words, or vice versa, so that there's some layering to it? So you can, you know, kind of either focus on the pictures and tell a separate story, or do the words, you know, sort of engage the imagination?
I like what you said there about really it's about that relationship kind of between the adult and the child, because it's that relationship of sitting on the lap and reading the book together. So really you kind of need to have both on board with the book.
Yes.
What are the major trends you've seen? What are the most popular kids books you've seen? I know I'm throwing you on the spot, so if you want to think about that for a minute, but are you seeing major trends? Are there very popular authors that are really emerging in the children's book arena?
Well, last year actually one of the biggest picture books was a Bill Novak book called The Book with No Pictures, which made the reader read a lot of really silly words, which sort of tickled the fancy of the children. So again, even though it has no pictures, it was a relationship between the reader and the child because they were interacting with one another. I myself prefer books with pictures in them. So I would, in speaking of that relationship between, that would not have been a book that I would have read to my kids because I didn't like it. But the kids do love it. And the adults who have heard them read out loud really did like it. In terms of other trends, The Day the Crayons Quit, sorry. Was very popular as well. And again, it's sort of a silly. So, you know, books with a slight punchline have really worked.
Well, we love that book. I have a 7-year-old. I guess she was 6 when the Crayons Quit. And that's a book where a child's crowns are protesting. You know, the red crown is you use me too much, and the peach crown is you never use me.
And mustard is ignored.
Yeah,
completely.
It's just such a clever book. And I think it has a sense of humor and a sophistication that appeals to adults, so we're happy to read it to the kids. And yet it's these bright, beautiful colors and drawings that really appeal to the kids. And so that was a perfect book to read back and
forth.
Well,
it also, though, if you sit down and reflect upon what the message of the book was, it also involved your imagination and creativity. Like, let's use mustard in a different setting. Let's, you know, make the elephant blue or the sky green and that sort of thing. So it also spoke to the creativity and imagination of children.
We actually got to interview that author of that crayon series when they were in 10, and you can hear that at news.kgnu.org, along with all of our radio book club coverage and indeed all of our coverage on books. Well, Arsene, what are some of your favourite children's books? As a dad, now you have a bookseller, you're kind of seeing both sides of it too.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter's a little older, so we're reading some chapter books now, and I really love the Clementine series of books. And Liesl will help me out with who that's written by.
Sarah Pennypacker.
And we just love those books. I think that those books, she just wrapped up the series, and it's 7 books. And I think those books are the closest to a contemporary Ramona or Fudge, you know, two of the classic children's book series. I think she's the closest, I think, of any author that I've seen to putting together a series like that. And I really love those books.
And are they popular? Are you seeing a big demand for that?
Yes. I mean, it is, one of those books that parents and kids can enjoy together, because it really captures the emotion of being 7, 6, 8, you know, as you're kind of going through life. You know, some of the mysteries of life are not necessarily explained, but, you know, your emotions are sort of explored, and it feels very, her voice is really, really great, and you feel like a little kid again when you read them.
Well, April Gosling, you are the school liaison for the Boulder Bookstore. What kind of books are schools looking for their kids to be reading?
Right now, actually, I'm working with a lot of schools. They're doing the Battle of the Books. So the list looks pretty interesting this year. I'm trying to think of what's on the top. One of the books that I'm recommending is actually on the book, the books, which is the Lunar Chronicle series by Marissa Meyer. Cinder, the first book, is on the 7th and 8th grade list.
What exactly is the Battle of the Books for those uninitiated?
I only know kind of more from the outside, but the battle is, there are 10 books, and each team is a group of 5, and the 5 members of the team read the book. And then in April, when the battle actually happens, I imagine there's just a bunch of questions about the book analysis and, you know, what do you remember happened and things like that. But it's increased a lot. This is my 3rd year now in the position at the bookstore. And the first year I had one school contact me, and this year I'm up towards 8 schools or 8 different teachers with different teams.
And do you have schools asking you for recommendations, or do they have a very clear idea what they want when they come in?
Generally, I get email lists, and when I get to talk about books or recommend books, I love it. I try to keep in realistic fiction, which is hard for me personally to read, but making sure that I'm up to date on that. One thing that I'm loving right now are the number of books about imaginary friends. Adventures of Beagle won the Caldecott this year, and so this fall and now into winter, we've seen a lot of picture books come out like that. One of my favorite ones is We Forgot Brock. Liesl also loves that. She's pointing at her list, so I'm guessing she's got some words on that one. And I just love the imaginary friends.
And what age group is that aimed at?
That's a picture book. So anyone who wants to read a picture book, from baby until at least someone older than me. So,
Liesl, do you want to expand a little bit more on some of the other picks that you have of picture books? So we'll kind of go through the generations here, maybe start with some of the younger kids, and if people are looking for some holiday gift ideas and some book recommendations.
Well, I actually have 3 picture books on my list. We Forgot Brock, which April just mentioned. It's by Carter Goodrich, and he has worked on films such as Finding Nemo, Ratatouille, and Despicable Me. This is actually his 6th picture book, so the art's really great. It's sort of done in a watercolor reminiscent of John Muth, so it has a sort of a natural palette, and it's really nice, except for Brock, who is the imaginary friend, and he's sort of scratched in pencil, so, you know, he looks very different and contrasting to the rest of the art, and there are these great panels, these great spreads where you can see Brock and the child playing, and then you sort of see it from the adult's perspective, and there's no Brock in the picture, so it just looks like this kid playing swords by himself, but, you know, in his mind, or really, Brock is there for him, and it's about how they lose Brock at an amusement park, which can happen because Brock wanted to go on the roller coaster ride. And then how they get Brock, well, yeah, how
Don't
Brock,
give away
how
the
Brock,
ending.
I know, how Brock and his friends get back together. It's just really great. And then I have 2 other picture books, Toy Meets Snow, which is by Emily Jenkins and Paul Zielinski. It is on the New York Times notable children's book picture book list this year. I fell in love with the toy series when Emily Jenkins and they have a series of chapter books that are sort of meant to be read out loud to maybe a 3 or 4 year old, maybe 4, 5, 6, you know, in there somewhere. The characters in this book, there's a stingray, a stuffed buffalo, and a plastic ball, and named Rubber. No, a rubber ball named Plastic. That's what it is. And the thing is, these animals, these stuffed animals, these toys are so realistic. They have characterizations of children. Like Stingray is kind of a poet and a dreamer and has imaginary friends and these great explanations for what is happening in the world. Plastic is very pedantic and accurate and likes to tout her knowledge. And Lumpy is a bit of a worrier, as I know many 5- and 6-year-old worriers are. It's like eavesdropping in on a preschool, the kind of conversations that these creatures have. So as a picture book, it's amazing and so wonderful. It's about the first snowfall, so there's a lot of magic in that. The last book, picture book that I have is called The Only Child. It is a wordless picture book. It is kind of done in a graphic novel kind of format, and it's Gao Jing, I hope I'm saying her name right, is Chinese, and there's a one-child policy in China, as we know, or we used to know, and it's about a little girl who's going to her grandmother's house, but she falls asleep on the bus and doesn't get off, so there's some magical creatures and magical realism that sort of take care of her, and she has these big adventures. It's a big book. And it's probably for an older child, really, but even though it is wordless. But the pictures say so much that you don't need any words at all.
That's Liesl Frodenstein. She is a children's buyer at the Boulder Bookstore, joining us this morning here at KGNU, giving us recommendations, as we're hearing now, about children's picture books. We're also joined in the studio with April Gosling, who's the school liaison for the Boulder Bookstore, and my co-host, Arsen Kashkashian, with the Boulder Bookstore. Arsen joins us, of course, every month for our radio book club. But this morning, we're really doing a preview of lots and lots of different books. We've been talking about picture books, maybe some young children books as well. We could maybe move into young adult before we get into the adult books. Arsen, do you have anything to throw in the mix in terms of favourite picture books or books for kids, for people who are listening? And just to let people know, I'll put all of these recommendations on our website. So if you're interested in these, they'll be up on KGNU.org later on.
I mean, I read a lot of books to my kid, but we tend to read classics. So, I mean, like, we just finished Little House on the Prairie, which is really kind of an amazing book, you know, 80 years later. But we, you know, Liesl gives us books all the time. And, you know, Martina, my daughter, is often reading ahead. My guess is her latest favorite book, this book, Cody, is probably not out yet. Or is it out yet? It is out.
It came out over the summer.
Yeah.
So
that's
behind.
That's a book she really likes. And she's read it herself. She's a 7-year-old. She just grabbed it in the office, and she'll sit down on the floor in the office and read it. But I know April's got some great picks for kind of young adults.
April Gosling, young adults. Well, can we have something that's not a vampire? It seems vampires were just all over young adult books.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually have two recommendations, neither of which are vampires. One is realistic historical fiction. It's called The Hired Girl. It's by Laura Amy Schlitz. She was a Newbery Honor for her gothic children's novel Splendors and Glooms about 4 years ago. I admit, I read Splendors and Glooms. It's a very interesting book. I didn't care for it, but I really love The Hired Girl. It's told in a journal fashion. Joan Scraggs is 14. Her dad has decided that she has had enough schooling. She should come home and take care of the men on the farm. And so on her departing day, her teacher gives her a journal and a copy of Jane Eyre, and she starts writing in the journal, deciding that she's going to keep a high journal. And it ends up just sort of being what happens in her daily life. She tells her father that she would like the egg money. Her father says no, so she goes on strike, and her father burns her copy of Jane Eyre. And at that point, Joan decides that she needs to leave the farm. And so she runs away to Baltimore and is taken in by a family. It's 1911, and they are a Jewish family who are still keeping kosher, and she's an Irish – well, she's not Irish, but she's Catholic, and so she's never heard of Judaism before. And so she has to go in and learn what keeping kosher means and, you know, all the different steps that go in the religion, and also as the family's trying to enter the 20th century and to be cool and not just be seen as a Jewish business-owning family. But, yeah, I loved it.
So that's for young adults, but really young adults, that genre is – really for anybody. I mean, there are so many young adult books that are very popular amongst adults now as well.
Very much true. Yes. We were discussing earlier that there's a quote by John Green that I'm going to paraphrase poorly, that there are so many horrible things and bad things and real life things that can only happen in young adult literature, that can only be handled by young adult literature. I actually really like the fact that young adult handles what happens in life without necessarily going in for sex, which is probably a horrible thing, but I like that there's actually relationships that are built and that people are learning how to communicate to each other. And, you know, sometimes that they're brutally honest, and that's horrible, but it's they're really solid novels.
Well, what's your other pick?
My other pick is actually the end of a series. It is called Winter by Marissa Meyer. The series is Lunar Chronicles. And so Marissa Meyer has adapted Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, Rapunzel, and sort of the all-encompassing Evil Queen character. And then finally with Winter, it's Snow White. Starting with Cinder, Cinderella is a cyborg, and instead of losing her shoe, her foot falls off at the ball, and bring it to a close at the end with Winter and Snow White. It is on the moon. So there are people who are living on the moon called Lunars or Lunas, and they are able to control people on Earth, just as a mind control thing. And Cinder is trying to overthrow the Evil Queen. Fairest is a prequel that you should read after the third book. It sort of falls into there that explains everything that goes on in the background. I was unhappy with the prequel when it came out, and then I realized how relevant it is to the whole series. So it's like book 3.5.
Well, we'll put all of these recommendations on our website. That was April Gosling. She is the school liaison for the Boulder Bookstore. We're also in the studio this morning with Liesl Freudenstein. She is the children's buyer for the Boulder Bookstore. And of course, Arsene Kashkashian, the buyer for the bookstore, joining us here in the KGNU studio. Well, we've covered young kids, young adults now. Arsene, what have been some of the really popular books in 2015?
Well, that's a good question. We've been talking in the office for trying to figure out what is really happening this year. You know, one of the most popular books is All the Light We Cannot See, which actually came out in the middle of 2014.
And we actually talked about this in last year's, our 2014 yes. Best Books of the Year. I think I was in the middle of reading it, but that has sustained its popularity.
Yes, yeah. But I think, you know, I think this year might be remembered as the year Elena Ferrante, an Italian novelist, came to the fore. Her books are the Neapolitan novels. It's a series of four books. The last one, Story of a Lost Child, came out this year. But the first one is My Brilliant Friend. And what she does in these books is truly amazing. And readers have really caught on. My Brilliant Friend, even though it came out maybe 5 years ago, is now on the bestseller list. And what she does is that it's about a female friendship. And it starts in Naples in the 50s, and it comes all the way through to today. And through the four novels, she is examining the changes in these friendships. The friends kind of have different experiences. They're like the two smartest girls in their class, but then early on, one family sends the girl to middle school and high school, and the other family stops the one girl's schooling. So right away, they kind of split. One marries early, the other one doesn't. But you're also following all the changes in Italy, whether it's economic, whether it's the different things that are going on in Italy throughout the years, and how they impact the girls and the friendship. And it's really, the way it's interwoven, I think it's a modern masterpiece, and it's finally getting recognized now, this year.
So that's the English translation of the Italian series.
Yeah. Anne Goldstein, I think, is the translator, a very fine translator from Italian to English. And so I think when we look back on this year, I think that finally these novels coming together and coming to the forefront of the American consciousness will be kind of what, fiction-wise at least, what this year is remembered for.
What are the dynamics around how a book can emerge maybe several years after it's been initially launched? Because I'd imagine the publicity campaign was early on. You know, what has taken it 3 years to really penetrate the market?
The publisher of these books in America is Europa, and Europa is a fairly small press bringing over European books to America, and that's a tough sell in America. And their previous success that was the English author Jane Gardam, and but she's writing in English; they're not even translated. And Americans seem to have much more open to that, with a few exceptions like Gabriel Garcia Marquez became a big name here. So I think it took a while. It was a small press, but then word of mouth started, and it kept building and building. And then by the time you got to the third and fourth book, it was a crescendo. People were talking about these books. It was a phenomenon. When this final book came out, it made the front page of the New York Times, which was unthinkable. It made the front page of the news section, and it made the front page of the book review, which was just kind of unthinkable 5 years ago when it was just being brought over by the small Europa press, a small novel that nobody really knew who she was.
Remind us of the author in the series again.
Elena Ferrante, and she's another mystery. She doesn't do interviews. No one's ever seen her. Nobody really knows who she is. So that's another mystery behind the whole series.
But we'll have all of these recommendations on our website a little bit later on. You're listening to KGNU. We have a panel of guests from the Boulder Bookstore talking about the best books, most popular books in 2015. We just have a couple minutes left. Arsen, what are some of the other books that you've liked or have been popular in the bookstore?
Well, one I wanted to talk about, and Liesl can jump in, is a book called The Thing Explainer. And I would recommend this for anybody from 12 to 80. And it's Complicated Stuff in Simple Words by Randall Munroe. And last year he wrote What If. So in this book, it's an oversized book and it has all these amazing drawings, duotone drawings, that teach you all sorts of stuff from, you know, writing, you know, how do pencils and pens work, to how does the sun work. You know, it's just, it's really incredible. And I know Liesl's looked at this book, you know, too. And it's, I think it's great for teenagers, but people any age would love it.
My last year I gave my son, who is 14, well, he's 15 now, actually. Last year he was 14, a book called What If by the same author that was sort of explores hypothetical scientific questions, like what would happen if everybody in the world gathered in one spot and jumped? Would we be able to move the Earth? And sort of, you know, goes through all the science and the possibilities and the ramifications of that. So this is his book for this year, and I'm giving it to my son for The Thing Explainer for his Christmas present this year, because I think it's just so spot on. It's just going to appeal to his wacky, science-y kind of nature. And there's lots of pictures and diagrams and things you can dive into, so you don't have to.
These are the questions that keep me up at night. I have to get that book. Well, we just have 2 minutes left. And like I said, we will put all of these recommendations on our website. But are people reading books? Because, Arsen, this is a constant theme that we have, and particularly children, given new patterns of consuming media. Are you still seeing people coming in, getting excited, reading books and getting books for their kids or for other people?
Yeah, I mean, we are still seeing people read books. And I think there is a hunger for books. And, you know, for a while there, we were worried, as many bookstores were, is what impact will e-books have on us? Well, you know, it's flattened out. I mean, people are buying physical books. They're reading physical books. One book I do want to get in to recommend real quick, because I know it's one of your loves, is there's a volume out this year, 100 Years of the Best American Short Stories. And this is 40 stories over 100 years from the series Best American Stories. And it's just a great book. There's works by Hemingway, Fitzgerald, Faulkner, but also by newer people, Junot Diaz, George Saunders. It's a hardback. It's $30. It's beautiful. So if you have somebody who loves short stories in your family, I would recommend that. And I think that's a great way, you know, to get people to read.
We've had short stories featured in our radio book club. And just as we wrap up, just to give a plug, what we're encouraging people now to read is Robert McBrearty, The Western Lonesome Society. He's a local author. He'll join us live on January 7th. You can find out more about our monthly radio book club at news.kgnu.org. And later this morning, I'll post all of the recommendations given by our panel of experts from the Boulder Bookstore. We've had April Gosling and Liesl Frodenstein. Liesl is the children's book buyer. April is the school liaison. And of course, Arsen Kashkashian, the head buyer with the Boulder Bookstore. Thank you so much all for being with us. And as I said, you can find out more about our monthly series, our radio book club, at our website, news.kgnu.org. Thanks all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is just coming up on 9 o'clock. You're listening to Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver.